I was wearing the wrong lenses, so I couldn't appreciate it. This is so true with our, also with our spiritual walk. There were some times when I couldn't enjoy the things of God and what God has ordained and purposed for me, because I was seeing God through the eyes of pain. I was seeing God through the eyes of disappointment. I was seeing God through the eyes of rejection. I'm sure I'm not the only person. We have seen God with wrong lenses. It's a privilege and an honor to be standing here. I think about 4 weeks or so back, my husband said, "Oh, you preaching?" Then I said, "No, I don't do preaching. I minister at the Encounter." I think you mistake it. I'm doing offering. Said, "No, you preaching." Then I said, I didn't do anything about it. I ignored him. Then after probably after 2 weeks or so, I said, I better check what he's saying. Then I looked, yes, behold, my name was there. But praise God, the word of God says he orders our steps. So it's God's doing that I'm standing here. Amen. Amen. I want you to turn with me to the book of Exodus, chapter 33. I'll read from verse 12. Exodus 33, verse 12. Moses says to the Lord, "See, you say to me, 'Bring up this people,' but you have not let me know whom you will send me with. Yet you have said, 'I know you by name,' and you have found favor in my sight." Carry on, please. "Now, therefore, I pray you, if you have found favor in your sight, let me know your ways so that I may know you, because more deeply and intimately acquainted with you, recognizing and understanding your ways more clearly, and then I may find grace," carry on, please, "and favor in your sight, and consider also that this nation is your people," carry on. "And the Lord said, 'My presence shall go with you, and I'll give you rest by bringing you and the people in the promised land.'" Carry on. "And Moses said to him, 'If your presence does not go with me, do not lead us from here.'" Verse 16. "For how then can it be known that your people and I have found favor in your sight? Is it not your going with us so that we distinguish your people and I from all the other people on the face of the earth?" Verse 17. "And the Lord said to Moses, 'I will also do this thing that you have asked, for you have found favor, loving kindness, mercy in my sight, and I've known you personally by name.'" Verse 18. "And Moses says, 'Please show me your glory.' And the Lord says, 'I will make all my goodness pass before you, and I will proclaim the name of the Lord before you, for I am graciously to whom I will be gracious, and I will show compassion and loving kindness on whom I will show compassion.'" Amen. You know, a few years ago, I went to watch a movie with my family. And it was, I think it, the movie we were watching, I think it was Ratatouille. Yeah, that's a lot of years ago. And when we were watching, that was the time the movie started showing the 3D movies. And quarterway showing the movie, about the movie, I turned to one of my young son and said, "There's something wrong with this movie." Then my son turned to me and said, looked at me and said, "Mommy, you need to remove the glasses, your own glasses, and wear the glasses you are given." for in order for you to enjoy the movie. Do you know the reason I couldn't appreciate that movie? And the reason I couldn't enjoy that movie was because I was wearing the wrong lenses. So I couldn't appreciate it. This is so true with our, also with our spiritual walk. There were some times when I couldn't enjoy the things of God and what God has ordained and purposed for me, because I was seeing God through the eyes of pain. I was seeing God through the eyes of disappointment. I was seeing God through the eyes of rejection and other trials and experience in my life. I'm sure I'm not the only person who have seen God with wrong lenses. And some of you probably are still seeing God in that way. And some of you, sometime in the past, you have done that as well. You see, our view of God is extremely important, especially this year of pressing into our blessings. What you know about God, your view about Him, changes who you are. It changes your perception of life. It defines your purpose, your destiny, and it shapes who you are and how you live. Because I believe everything about our life, our attitudes, our motives, our desires, our actions, our words, our thought patterns are influenced by our view of God. You know, Moses understood how important our view of God is, and he broadly, in that scripture we read, declared to God that, "Show me your glory." That's verse 18. He was asking to see God for who he really was, so that God will show him. So that God will show him his purpose, and God will be able to lead him to the mission that he sent him. He knew that he couldn't fulfill the mission God has sent him to fulfill without knowing who really God was, without the presence of God. Amen. You know, God's goodness, among other things, is his presence, his power, his favor. And God's goodness is his attribute, is who God is his character. Until we see God as God is good, we will not experience all that God has in store for us. Today, I want you to consider the goodness of God with me. The Bible presents this truth over and over and over again. In Exodus 34, verse 6 says, "And he passes in front of Moses, proclaiming, 'The Lord, the Lord, merciful and gracious, long-suffering, and abounding in goodness and truth.'" In Chronicles 16, 34, it says, "All give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. Amen. And his mercies endures forever." Psalms 145, verse 9 says, "The Lord is good to all, and his tender mercies are for all his works." Amen. You know, I could go on and on and on, quote scripture and scripture. As I say, the Bible is full of scriptures of the goodness of God. But I want us to look at James chapter 1, verse 17 to 18. James reflects this when he says, "Every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of heavenly lights, whom there is no change like shifting shadows." James is being specific here and precise in his communication. He's trying to present to us two different thoughts. The first one, he says, every good gift refers to something that is given with a good intent. The very act of giving is good, it's positive, and it's kind. And the second one, it says, perfect gift. The idea he's conveying here is that something that is given that fulfills its purpose, it accomplished what it's sent to accomplish. That's how good is God is. He gives us a gift with a good intent. That gift is supposed to accomplish what he sent us to accomplish. You know, years back I was given a gift by one of my sisters. The gift was lovely. What she gave was with a good heart, but it didn't fulfill the purpose. You know, she gave me some sort of perfume, some oil. I didn't know what to do with it. I didn't know. It didn't have a use. But, you know, when she gave it a good heart. But it didn't fulfill its purpose. Because there's no way I could use it. So at the end, I just chucked it in the bin. But it wasn't intent. You know, sometimes... I did. But you know, God doesn't give us a gift which you don't know what to do with it. Every gift that he gives us is for a purpose. He knows us. So that gift is supposed to fulfill a purpose. And you know, I don't let anyone lie to you. Don't let yourself lie to yourself, and don't let Satan or the world deceive you about God. God is good, and he is good in all times, in all seasons, and God is our Father, and he loves us with an everlasting love. He cannot get over you. He is committed to you. And he's faithful and he's true. You know, God is good. And he's good in all he is. He is good in what he does. He is inherently and personally good. He is good moral. There is no flaw in God. He is perfect. He is holy and he is righteous. And he gives us, like I said, I can't keep on saying it enough, that's how the Holy Spirit was bringing to me, that he gave us good gifts. You know, James there, verse 1 to 7, said, every good gift and perfect comes from the Father and it doesn't change. You know, God doesn't change. That's what God, I believe, wants to communicate to us as well today, that the Lord doesn't change. God just changes not. Malachi 3:6 says, I, the Lord, do not change. It is because God does not change that we are secure and we are kept in his hand. In Hebrews 13:8, concerning Jesus says, Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Everything around us is subject to change. Everything around us is changing. Even with this virus, we don't know what's happening tomorrow. Everything just changes. We can't be certain. We can't be sure. But you know, God is sure. God doesn't change. Our God does not change. He never fails. He never gives up. He's the same. He's the same God who raised Lazarus from the dead. He's the same God who provided the widow with flour and oil in 1 Kings when she thought that she was going to eat and with her son and they'll die. He's the same God who parted the Red Sea and the children of Israel crossed over. He's the same God who healed the woman with an issue of blood. And he never fails and he never changes. God wants you and me to know that in the midst of trials, in the midst of challenges, never doubt the goodness of God in our lives, because He never changes. You know, life can be hard, life can be unfair, but God is good. We can stand on the rock and we can run to Him. He's our refuge and our fortress. You know, in this scripture we read first about Moses, he said God put him in the cliff of a rock. He's our rock. He can put us in any situation in the cliff of His rock so that no harm can come to us. Amen. You know, for us to understand the goodness of God, you know, there are some things we can only be understood, and you can only understand by experience. I want us to look at Paul, the apostle. You know, when he started, he hated the Christians. He was actually persecuting them. However, after experiencing the goodness of God and testing the goodness of God, after he encountered Jesus and his life, he says in Romans 8:38, I am persuaded beyond doubt. I am sure that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor things impending, threatening, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus. The goodness of God in His life was greater than any suffering. It was greater than any experience. It was greater than any shipwreck. It was greater than being beaten by a snake, even being imprisoned. That's how God is good. God is so good that there's no situation that anyone can go through and He's not there in our midst, because He's a good God. You know, in the Psalms it says, He never leaves us or forsakes us. That's how good God is. I also want to tell you, I know of a woman who was abused physically, emotionally, sexually when growing up, spent most of her time covered in a blanket of shame. I think it's only about 4 or so years ago, she went to see a movie which was called The Great Showman. And in there was a word that says, I am who I am. That woman, while she was listening, she said something pricked in her spirit and said, you know, if somebody says, are you happy with the way you are? She wasn't comfortable of who she was. And, you know, God started to do some work in her. And she went to an encounter shortly after. And God, you know, instead of the garment of shame, God covered her with a garment of honor. She battled with unforgiveness, spirit of unforgiveness and rejection, until God declared her that she's accepted in the beloved. She was pronounced several times by the doctors, not once, not twice, that she had an incurable disease. And God transformed her and healed her. God used several encounters. God used Healed for Life ministry to set her free. You know, that woman was me. I just want really here to encourage anyone who's wearing or who's been walking with the lenses of shame, walking with the lenses of bitterness, walking with the lenses of hate, walking in the lenses of rejection. I don't know what you're going through here, but God is faithful. God is our healer. You know, if you submit yourself to His arms, is able to heal. There's nothing that is impossible with God. You know, that woman is me. When I was growing up, I was sexually abused by my uncle over and over, and I didn't know what to do. And I felt this shame and this guilt even on marriage, and probably first few years of my marriage, I battled with the spirit of shame. But God is good. And I would really strongly recommend yourself that I said earlier when I started that our view of God impacts our destiny, impacts how we do life, it impacts how we live. Until we see God as a good God, until we see God as a God who brings healing, you'll never progress in life. You know, before I did my degree, I'm a nurse at present. I actually did a degree in hotel management, and I did very well in school and everything in uni. But I couldn't use my qualifications because of how I viewed myself, mostly how I viewed God. I couldn't progress. I couldn't succeed because my view of God was skewed. God was some horrible man who abused me until God put me in the right family. I call this a family, in the right home. If you are not in the right home, if you are not in the right family where you are nourished, where you are fed, you know, you will not progress. You always have, you know, bad vision. And I would really strongly, I don't know how to say it again, submit yourself to God. And one of the ways you submit yourself to God is going where there is a healing ministry. It's secure there. And you are free to be yourself. And you are free because the presence of God to heal will be there. So I encourage you again. I can't say it more than enough. You know, I want also to look, I said, to experience the goodness of God is an experience by people who've been there. And I also want to look at David, King David. In Psalms 23, he says, surely goodness will follow us all the days of our life. David knew the goodness of God. He had experienced and tested it. He was rejected by his own family. He spent a good time running away from Saul, who was trying to kill him due to jealousy. He experienced the mercy of God after he murdered Bathsheba's husband. He experienced deliverance power to serve while he was a young person in the wilderness looking after his father's sheep. His ways to King Saul demonstrated totally trust in God. In Psalms 17:34 says, the Lord who rescued me from the paw of the lion and the paw of the bear will rescue me from you, hand of the Philistines. That's the man who knew who God was, and he knew the goodness of God. You know, Psalms 23:13 says, I would have despaired would I not believe the goodness of God. That's David saying. I would have despaired if I had not believed the goodness of God in the land of the living. You know, church, we are not those who despair because our God is good. He's our creator. He's the giver of life. He's the shield. He's our banner. He's our strong tower. He's our refuge in the times of need. He's our healer. He's our shepherd. He changes not. He's our Prince of Peace, and he's our comforter. He changes not. He's the father to the fatherless and the husband to the widow. He changes not. He's a strong tower. our refuge in the times of need. He changes not. He is our provider, yes. Shepherd of our soul. He changes not. He is the God who supplies all our needs. He changes not. Above all, he is our Redeemer. He is our Savior. He is our sure coming King. He changes not. Like I said, I don't know your experience, what you have been battling with, but this I know for sure, that God is good. I'm a living testimony of his goodness and his mercy. His word says, how great is your goodness with which you stored for those who fears you, which you have wrought for those who take refuge in you before the sons of men. That's a promise from God. How great is your goodness that you have stored upon those who fear you. God has got something for each and every one of us stored up for us. Stored up for us is for us to surrender ourselves to him so that we can tap into that goodness, so that we can tap into that blessing that God has in store for us. If we can stand, please. Moses says, show me your glory. And God says, my goodness, I will show you my goodness. I don't know what lenses you have viewing God with. But God is saying, test and see that I am good. Test and see. Test and see. You know, when I go to the kids, to the shops with my kids, they like testing the little samples before the days of the coronavirus. You know, sometimes you have to test something to know how good that thing is. Even when you go and dine or you buy a bottle of wine, they'll put a small sip for you to just test. Then you'll know that you like that. You know, we need to test God. You need to remove the lenses, wrong lenses on our eyes, and let God experience God. Test God. Father, we thank you. Father, we thank you for your goodness. Father, we thank you for your mercies. Father, we thank you, Lord, that you are so good, that you are the God who stores up goodness for us. You are the God we have stored up gifts for us, Father, Lord God. Father, today, Lord God, this morning, we come, Father, Lord God, on the throne of your foot. And Father, we invite you in our lives. Father, we come, Father, Lord God, so that we can test that you are good. For you know, Lord God, that you are faithful. Father, you are faithful and just. Father, we thank you, Lord God, that you never let us down. Father, because you've got a purpose. You've got a greater purpose for us than we know ourselves. Father, we thank you, Lord God, that you will not despair, Father, Lord God, because we know that you are good. Father, I thank you, Lord God, that each and every person, Lord God, hearing my voice, will fulfill, Lord God, their destiny so that they can invite others to test and see that you are good. Father, we thank you. We give you glory and honor. In Jesus' name we pray with thanksgiving. Amen.